First of all, I'd like to thank Pastor Nathan for allowing me to speak today. And I want to give Nathan props for the way he normally crafts his sermons. They're always so perfectly wordsmithed. It'd be like if it was a painting, it'd be like a Thomas Kincaid or a Georgia O'Keeffe. I'm more of a Pollock, maybe, paint splatters. So if I lose any of you, please raise your hand, let me know, and I'll try to backtrack, although I have about 3 minutes, so take my time? Okay. But let's start with a prayer, shall we? Holy One, thank you so much for this day, for every day that you give to us. Please bless what I talk about today. Let it be let it do your work, God. Let it serve you, and let it be received with loving and open hearts. Pray this in your name and in the name of Christ. Amen. Amen. So I know some of you, but not all of you, so I thought maybe it'd be a good idea to give you a little background on who I am. Nathan told you I'm Nicole Highhouse, and I've been with MCC Portland for about 14 years, give or take, about maybe 2002, if I recall it right. I don't have Dave Dishman's, where's Dave? I don't have Dave Dishman's recall for dates, so that may be a little wonky. I came here after quitting meth, and as many of you have also found, I found a home here at MCC. I first started getting acquainted with MCC by volunteering at the Hard Time Supper. I don't know if you're acquainted with the Hard Time Supper, but Pat Schweibert and the gang served dinner to folks every week, and that was a tremendous experience for me. A bit later, I facilitated the Spiritual Development Committee with absolutely no credentials, education, or experience, I might add. But that committee came up with the idea of a young adult service that we later called Elevation. I led the Elevation Band and did some discussions near the end of its term, and Elevation lasted for about 9.5 years, I'd say. We put that to bed for now. Last year, and I have been enjoying being with the morning band ever since. Long story short, I'm not a pastor, okay? So I'd like to offer a disclaimer that the things that I bring up may or may not be, align with MCC Portland, but we're blessed that MCC welcomes a great diversity of opinion. Amen? Amen. So today's scripture reading of the loaves and fishes is not an unfamiliar one. I'm fairly sure that most, if not all, people here today are familiar with the story. It's one that describes a miracle, where 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread feed 5,000 people, and there's 12 baskets left over. And as an aside, here comes the Pollock. That reminds me of Thanksgiving when you cook a turkey, you feed a whole bunch of people, you send everybody home with leftovers, and you still end up with a refrigerator full of food. I'm not entirely sure how that happens. I'd like to call that the story of the drumsticks and the stuffing. But anyway, back on track. A person could read the story of the loaves and fishes maybe in two ways. One is that Jesus performed a miracle of food production, which is absolutely well within Jesus' power, and it aligns with a lot of other miracle stories in the Gospels. Or one could look at it as a story about people's faith moving them to action. And I'll tell you what I mean by that in a moment. So the area where the story takes place is kind of a desolate area. There's grazing land, mostly, and it's close to a fishing village. Jesus had been followed by an enormous crowd of people for a very long time, and they've been listening to him. If you think of 5,000 people, if we pack this house, we have, what, 300, 350? If we really pack it? 250. Okay, so imagine that divided into 5,000. That's a lot of people following one man around, hearing a message. So I'm assuming he was pretty inspirational. And considering what Jesus normally taught about God's generosity, about having faith that trust in God will provide, I can imagine that these people would have that particular message in their hearts. So it starts to get late, and the apostles are like, hey, Jesus, these people are going to start getting hungry. You don't want a rowdy 5,000 people. So maybe we should send them away so that they can eat and we can continue on. And he said, no, no, no. We'll give them food. And they're like, Are you sure? But he brings the food. They bring the food to him. He lifts it up. He blesses it. And he has the apostles start to hand the food out. Now imagine that you're there. You see Jesus and his poor group of followers handing out what little food they have to an enormous crowd. And you've heard all day about the love of God and about how those who believe, those who trust, will not want. You brought with you a little bit of food, maybe a loaf of bread, maybe a fish, if that much. And you know it's more than you'll need for that particular moment. You were going to use it for over a couple of days. So instead of saving it for later, you have faith that God will provide. You take what you need, and you add the rest to the baskets as they're passed. Steadily, this happens among 5,000 people. And by the end of the process, not only has every individual been fed, but there's 12 baskets left over. Now, if this is the way it happened, people could have acted differently. They could have said, well, I just have a loaf of bread. It's not like it's going to make a big difference. It's only a little bit. Maybe I'll just, you know, I'll eat part of it and I'll save the rest for later. You know, what difference could it make to 5,000 people, right? But this man, this wonderful teacher, his truth spoke to their hearts. His message of the love of God, present among them, inspired them to believe that their acts of love and generosity could make a difference. This may or may not be an accurate interpretation of what happened. Jesus may very well have simply multiplied the food and showed people God's power and authority. God can do that. But if Jesus came to change our lives, if Jesus came to us to set an example and ask us to follow in his footsteps, in my opinion, this would have been a greater story. That people heard the word of God and were changed. They were inspired to live the faith that Christ encouraged in his teachings and act for the benefit of more than just themselves. Last week, we kicked off the 40th celebration of MCC Portland. We had a little anniversary celebration service, and a couple of people were asked to share their experiences at MCC during the Sunday service about activities that happened in the decade when they started going to this church. And I was reminded then about those early years that someone called the dying years, the time when AIDS had dug its claws in, and we were watching our men and some of our women die. And we were all brought back in thought to that time that was so devastating, when we lost so many people that we loved. It was sad and moving to recall such a horrible time, but at the same time, as I was hearing those stories, it stood as a very clear reminder about the beginnings of this church. How our people came together to support and serve those who were sick and dying and those who were losing people that they loved. Honestly, where would we have been if the survivors had ignored the call? I mean, it could have been feasible. I don't know how to take care of somebody. You know, I'm sure there's other people that are more qualified. I mean, what could I do? There could have been that opinion, right? But they did get involved. They drove people to doctor's appointments, and they brought food to those who didn't have strength to prepare food or maybe who didn't want to eat. They cleaned homes, and they did laundry. They kept people company, and they prayed with them. And this is only a drop in the bucket. And as they all pitched in, as they all persevered through those dark days, they made a difference. They brought light and comfort to those who needed it so much. Hearing that last week, I was so proud of this church and its beginnings. And it reinforced what I feel is one of the most important messages that Jesus brought to us, that God works through us when from faith we say yes to the call. That God works through us when from faith we say yes to the call. That when God really wants to make changes in the world, it's not a lightning bolt or a burning bush or a column of smoke or fire. Those happen, but mostly when God wants to make changes in this world, it's through us. It's through God's people. We can go back in time. Abraham, Moses, Elijah, Jesus. Yeah, even Jonah couldn't run away from the call when God needed him. St. Francis of Assisi is one of my favorite saints, and he dedicated his life to serving the sick. Martin Luther King Jr. served and said yes to God's call. And where's Pat Schweibert? Is she here? No? Darn it. But you don't have to be a saint or a martyr or the son of God to make a difference. And I think that's maybe what the story of the loaves and fishes is about. That when each of us says yes, even in small ways, it's proof that faith can move mountains. When we all come together and say yes, we can move mountains. I'm going to go on another track here. I want to tell you a little bit about someone who is very, very special to me. My grandma Molman, that's her last name, not a description, was... My grandma Molman was one of the most wonderful people in the world to me. She was this cherub-faced little old lady, and I'm pretty sure she was a cherub-faced little old lady when she was 30. My mom was a single mom, and so I spent a lot of time with my grandma, and she called me her baby, and she was probably the best example of unconditional love to me in my life. My grandma was not always in the best health. She she was plagued with arthritis almost all of her life. And actually, she was born with a defect on her foot. Her foot turned out so much that she actually ended up eventually walking on the inside of her ankle. So she had arthritis in her knees and her back and her hands, and she had a hard time getting around. Through the last few years of her life, she would walk across the street every day to the neighbor lady's house. And the neighbor lady actually lived in a two-story house, and the living space was above the garage, so you'd have to walk across the street and up a flight of stairs just to get to her front door. My grandma walked across that street every day to bring her her mail, to make her lunch, occasionally to bring her groceries, and to visit with her. There she'd be, wobbling across the road, and I'd be terrified watching this. Of course, I'd help her. But, like, she was definitely the person that other people should be visiting, not so much that she should be out visiting other people. I kept wondering, why would she do that? And the reason was because she knew crossing the street made a difference in somebody's life. She did it because she knew that God gave her the ability to walk across the street, even if it was painful, to somebody who couldn't. And she knew that when she visited the lady across the street, it allowed God to love them through her. And if I'd take it further, I would also say that she did it because serving others takes us outside of ourselves. When we spend too much time focused on ourselves, it's easier to feel the pain. It's easier to focus on the unfairness in our lives. Maybe spend too much time in our own guilt. But if we focus on others, the negatives are reduced. And in the process, other people are lifted up. How awesome is that? And many times as a result, we finally receive the healing that we ourselves are so desperately searching for. Martin Luther King Jr. actually said it really well. He said, "Those who are not looking for happiness are the most likely to find it, because those who are searching forget that the surest way to be happy is to seek happiness for others." I'm going to read that again. Those who are not looking for happiness are the most likely to find it because those who are searching forget that the surest way to be happy is to seek happiness for others. Who here reads the Bible? Right? It's not judgment if it's not a regular practice, but who reads the Gospels? I have to admit that I could probably do a little bit more practice in reading the Bible. But when I do, I think I'm usually looking for something when I go to the Gospels. An answer, maybe? Wisdom? To be closer to God? Sometimes I go there because God gave me this amazing gift. God gave me a life. And I want to know what to do with it. I already know that I belong to God. We all belong to God. And God already knows that there's not enough room in my heart to be able to show God how much I love the one who made me. So after all that, what does God want me to do with this life? So I turn to Jesus. I figure if somebody should know, it's God, right? So I go to the Gospels, specifically the words of Jesus. And when I do sit down and read the Gospels, I'm struck again and again by two words he keeps saying. Follow me. Again and again, when people ask him specifically, what do? He says, follow me. Matthew 4:19, come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. Matthew 16:24, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Mark 10:21, Jesus said, go, sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. John 8:12, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Follow God. Follow in God's footsteps. How do you follow in the footsteps of God? It's not a judgment on anybody, but I think sometimes we can use that as a reason to escape the commission. How do you follow God? Yes, Jesus was a man, but Jesus was also a God. So how do you follow somebody who had the knowledge of God and the understanding of God? Well, I think the answer to that puzzle is to say yes. Every soul in this room has something to offer. Every single one of you. The answer to walking in the footsteps of Christ is to say yes to the opportunity to share what you have, even when you haven't been specifically asked, because God has already asked. So I have a challenge for everybody today. For some, it may already be regular practice, but if you're not already participating in service in some regard in your life, I challenge you today to commit to offer your time or gifts somehow. It can be here in this church, it can be out in the community, your choice. I know that within the church we have a multitude of ministries, maybe not 5,000, but we have a lot of things that people could do, including the ushers, the congregational life team where prayers needed, building stewards to keep the building clean and tidy, groundskeepers, the pantry that deals with the food, hard time supper, the choir, the website and tech teams, dramatic arts, thanks to Eli and Maury for doing the skit this morning, preparation of the social space downstairs on Sunday mornings, and many more. And I'm sure that there are things that this community could be doing, or that this church could be doing in the community that we haven't even thought of yet. Okay? So, if you have actually thought about this before, and aren't already involved, and know what you would like to do, there are these cards in the pews. If you're in one of the fronter? Speak real good English. I challenge you to write down what you would like to do on your connection card and put it in the trays as they go by this morning. If you haven't given thought, and if you need a little time to think about it, then I submit to you to begin praying specifically that it be revealed to you. When I first came to MCC out of addiction, The very first thing that I got involved in was the Hard Time Supper with Pat Schweibert and the gang. And it was the best decision I ever made. I made friends with an amazing group of people. I learned my way around a crazy kitchen. I got out of my head and away from temptation at a time when I needed it. And it set me on the road to where I am now. And my road is awesome. I just want to put that out there. Every single time I was there, I got to witness and experience amazing and beautiful acts of love. It has been the times that I served this church and this community where I have seen the kingdom of God right here, right now. God came to us in Jesus for so many beautiful reasons: to erase sin, to show us the path to our own salvation, and he came to show us how to live our lives here and now, to use the gift that God so generously gave us. So if we follow in Jesus' footsteps, if in faith in Christ we say yes to offering our time, our gifts to our community, then together we will truly have the faith to move mountains.